Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Global IT outage. I'm Sherry Preston. Around the world, banks, online retailers, media outlets, and airline flights have all been affected by a worldwide computer outage. This woman is at Reagan National Airport in Washington.
When I got here, there was a lot of chaos about an hour ago, and they kind of told me there was a ground stop, and I kind of asked what that meant, and I don't know. I didn't get a lot of clarity, but I am going to have to cancel my flight and actually get on a new flight at a completely different airport.
The FAA had issued a ground stop for all American, Delta, United flights, and other airlines as well. That ground stop being lifted for some airports. New York City's chief technology officer, Matthew Frazier, said the problem had originated with an update that the internet security firm CrowdStrike had put out overnight.
That update, once deployed, caused a number of Windows-based workstations to go offline or crash.
CrowdStrike says it was not a cyber attack and that it's being worked on now. This is ABC News. Comedy legend Bob Newhart died on Thursday. ABC's Danny New has more on his career.
The button-down mind of Bob Newhart became both the first comedy album to reach number one on the Billboard charts and to win Album of the Year at the Grammys. From there, Newhart would star in two of the most successful sitcoms of the 1970s and 80s. First, The Bob Newhart Show.
Good morning, Dr. Hartley.
And then in the 80s, Newhart, where he played a New England innkeeper. He would also become a staple of late-night television, guest hosting Johnny Carson's Tonight Show 87 times. Bob Newhart was 94 years old.
A federal appeals court in New Orleans has ruled to uphold a lower court order blocking a Biden administration effort to enhance protections for LGBTQ plus students under the federal law known as Title IX. The administration sought to expand the definition of sexual harassment at schools and colleges and add safeguards for victims. State officials in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Montana filed lawsuits that led to the law being blocked in several states. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Ball.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks taking on the Phoenix Suns in Las Vegas. Milwaukee's 0-3, looking for their first win in summer league play. Pete Dominguez is serving as the Bucks head coach and was asked, how does their rookie first round pick, A.J. Johnson, look so far?
The kid is, he has an infectious personality. He's someone that I think everyone, top to bottom in the organization, enjoys being around. And he just loves being on the court. He loves working. He understands that the learning curve, especially at his position, playing a lot of point guard, is going to be steep. He hasn't been phased at all, and I think he's shown shown the right attitude, and obviously his confidence is where we need it to be. I don't think it's going to be an issue for him. I think that he's someone that you don't want to stunt his growth by kind of cutting back what you're giving to him. I think you just give him as much as you can and see what he could do with it.
Baseball, the Brewers head to Minnesota to face the Twins tomorrow night. In golf, Garrett Jones of Madison, the winner of this year's State Amateur Golf Championship. The 39-year-old shot an even par, good enough for the win at the Legend at Merrill Hills near Waukesha. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a pretty nice weekend coming up today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with an isolated afternoon thunderstorm, 81. Same for Sunday, partly cloudy, scattered afternoon thunderstorms, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates, the RNC MKE 2024 Hangover Edition. In your grievances, we air them on Friday, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, July 19th, 2024. Yeah, it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You might be joining us over the app instead, maybe through Bluetooth on your car phone speaker or your smart speaker at home. Maybe watching us on Facebook or YouTube, not Twitter anymore. You might be listening on demand by podcast, however you got here. Thank you for taking us along as we get set to head into another nice July weekend. I got a question for you. Are you aware that Donald Trump wrapped up his convention speech about an hour and a half ago? I mean, I guess that's the way it felt to some people. Longest Republican nominee convention acceptance speech ever at 93 minutes. It finished after midnight Eastern time for folks watching there. Apparently undid a lot of goodwill that might have been built up as what started with a unifying theme at the start of the speech just turned into the same old rambling. I mean, rambling to the point where I would not be surprised now if not only is Joe Biden hounded from the ballot, Donald Trump might be replaced on the ballot by Hulk Hogan based on the reception given to Hulk Hogan. And I wish I was kidding, but I've got multiple clips to prove it. So we'll review the former president's speech and reaction to it and how it does not appear to have moved the needle. Indeed, it might be the first good news for Democrats in the last 3 weeks since that debate where folks are saying, oh yeah, that's who Donald Trump is. It's that guy. We'll go over that and more coming up. But first, as always, a little housekeeping along the way. If you'd like to join us, the phone number for calls or texts, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, if you don't have those letters on your phone dial. You can call, text. You can also do the same through the Civic Media app, where you can call us or text us. Email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, put a question or feedback in the comments, and we might show it there. All right, so during this first hour, we'll simply go over the speech and cover some other topics as well. Then in our second hour, we'll have our usual Friday guests. We'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel at around 7:20 on legal issues that are in the news. I mean, Trump is still not nearly out of the woods yet from a legal standpoint. I mean, yeah, he had the Florida documents case dismissed temporarily. It's going to extend that case a long ways, but it's not going away entirely, along with the other things that are going on. So we'll talk to Jim Santel about that. We will visit with Mark Jacob, who probably has a headache from rolling his eyes so much at the media coverage of the convention this week and of the drama surrounding Democrats this week. So we'll go over all of that. Dan Schumacher will help us wrap up things by getting back to sports. I am going through severe baseball withdrawal. I need my evening baseball games to come back. It's like the perfect white noise in the background as we're doing things around the house and watching while there's action going on. And no, there's just been nothing. So I will be very eager to have that coming back as well. And then we've got some bittersweet news from the world of comedy to talk about and much more. Brittany Merlot will have our forecast too coming up about an hour from now. But again, a beautiful morning here. I'm betting it's the same down in downtown Waukesha, where we find one Greg Bach. Mr. Bach,
good morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
We'll hear from Greg in a minute. He's playing the soundtrack from Oklahoma.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're here. I didn't see you here. Sorry,
yes,
folks.
Sorry. Oh. just snuck right in there.
It's gorgeous out right now. It is, let's see, it's 59 degrees, which I ain't mad at. And no. It's sunshiny, from my view, not a cloud in sight, and it's got a crispness to it, which I enjoy. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting, Pat?
Greg?
We can talk about this with Dan later, though. But yeah, we talked to Paul Noonan yesterday, who's our sports guy on Matt and Air on Air every other week, and it was just interesting. We were talking about the All-Star game, and you know how I love baseball, and when the All-Star game comes around, that whole thing, I'm just like, well, I'm just going to take a week off from baseball because I don't care. Like, it's just weird how I just shut it off for 4 or 5 days. I'm like, yeah, you guys go have your fun. Let people watch batting practice for on national television and call me when it starts mattering again.
Yep. But it will. It will starting tomorrow. Oh, yeah. In fact, here, I have the details. The Milwaukee Brewers are heading to the Twin Cities to take on the Minnesota Twins starting tomorrow. First pitch at 6:10, pregame at 5:35 tomorrow evening. Baseball comes back on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. Again, 6:10 on Saturday, and then 1:10 on Sunday, and then off to Chicago to play the Cubs at Wrigley Field next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday evenings, and then next Wednesday afternoon. A day off next Thursday, and then begins a homestand. The Brewers will be back home a week from tonight, opening up a series against Miami. A week from tonight being Yacht Rock Night at American Family Field. And it's where Greg Bach and I are finally going to go to a Brewers game together.
Heck yeah. I love that idea. I love baseball, and Pat Kreitlow is amazing. Yay!
Well, here, just in case that wasn't genuine enthusiasm, yeah. I have it on good authority. We will be joined at the game by Luke Mathers.
What?
Yeah. Oh, your hero, Luke Mathers,
the
in
very
person.
Handsome, very capable Luke Mathers.
Yeah, that would be the one.
I just,
and a horde of others. Oh, it's Coffee Cup Friday. Look, Greg's got a coffee cup. What is that? A Happy Little Trees. It's a Bob Ross mug. Bob Ross's mug on a mug. And mine today is an oversized coffee mug from Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, that's cool.
Get the big old map and all the critters. For folks who didn't know, a couple of weeks back, we talked about how we each, for whatever reason, we've amassed way too many coffee mugs from, you know, trips and souvenir shops and things. And I figure before they all go to Goodwill, we should at least give them a good highlight one more time. So this week it's Yellowstone, and I pulled up a half a dozen from the basement. And so for the next few weeks, at least, it'll be Coffee Cup Friday.
I got to go find mine, because there's one specific one that I want to bring in that you guys are going to love.
Oh, good.
Well, I was going to say, though, like, a regular coffee cup is depressingly small. Like,
yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, when you have that oversized one, that one that's just perfect, where like you put two pot or like pot it twice and it's the perfect. Like, this is like, it's 2/3 of a cup with one pod, and it's like
it's like having a little espresso cup, but it's not. It's just two little coffee. Let's see, the Laughing Tap this weekend is back in action.
Yeah. Laughing Tap is back in action, and I'm saying it right here. I'm dedicating all shows this weekend to a fallen great we will talk about later. And John Doerr is in town this weekend. We got one show tonight, two shows tomorrow. John Doerr is like Canadian royalty up there. He has been on TV up there. He's been on TV down here. He's stand-up, been on Conan, the late shows. Very just gruff and grumble dude, but really funny. It's hard to explain. I would just go to YouTube, find a clip, and it's going to be great. But yeah, you can go to laughingtap.com for those tickets. Those tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door, which that's pretty good price. Mm-hmm. And there's no drink minimums, and the RNC is out of town. But I did hear this. For those listening, if you're listening in the Milwaukee area or going to be in the Milwaukee area, they are going to keep restrictions on parking up through the weekend.
Really?
So some of the parking might not be as available around Milwaukee down by that area. You won't be troubled by the tap because we got plenty of parking, street parking. But I just saw that and I thought I'd just put that out there.
Okay. Well, folks need that update that Milwaukee will not be entirely back to normal. After what has been a somewhat disappointing Republican convention in terms of the ancillary business, but yeah. We'll just let it go at that because I want to spend these final 3 minutes before the break talking about the sadder side of comedy with yesterday's passing of Bob Newhart at the age of 94. Three things to say.
Yeah.
His early stand-ups when he was still an unknown working in accounting are, frankly, in this day and age, underappreciated. Go back and listen to early Bob Newhart comedy, just him on a telephone.
Yep.
The mid-year stuff, the Bob Newhart show and some of the other special appearances. Of course, that's how he became an institution, later a legend. And then in his later years, doing Big Bang Theory, doing Elf, and everything. He never lost his touch.
No.
And all three phases of his life were amazing. He had a beautiful friendship with Don Rickles. And the fact that he is, reunited and with their spouses is, makes that brings at least a little comfort to an otherwise sad occasion for a guy who had a hell of a ride.
Yeah, I mean, where do you start with that man? He was legendary, influential, the button-down mind of Bob Newhart, his first comedy record. I mean, look up the stats on that. It was like a rock star's album.
He was number one and two on the Billboard album chart for a while.
Yep.
He won his first two albums.
And folks, he didn't win Grammys for best comedy record. There was no category back then. He won best record. That's how big this record was. And it is beautiful. And he's just, he was a lovely, lovely human. I if you go to my Twitter page, it's I am Greg Bach. You can see I posted the mini doc that the New Yorker and Judd Apatow brought about he and Don Rickles.
So good.
They were brothers. They were best friends. They loved each other so much. Ginny and Barb and Don, they were best friends. They traveled, videotapes of these travels. I mean, it's the weird thing, Pat, he was 94. We knew it was going to happen eventually. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take the hurt away because it's just one more comedy great that's gone, and he never stopped being funny. And you're right. He is just as funny on Big Bang Theory as he was on his records. That dry delivery, that wit is so influential. Watch Dave Foley on The Kids in the Hall, and you're going to see that influence all through the time of his performances. Mm-hmm. He will be missed. He is loved. And my heart's a little heavy.
The wit, especially, because anybody can be dry. Anybody can be deadpan.
Yeah.
But if you have a quick wit to go along with it, a lot of those lines weren't pre-written, or if they were written, they were written with great care to be perfectly funny. And again, still, and I will fight anybody on this, the greatest TV series finale ever of Newhart and breaking the time-space continuum to go back to the Bob Newhart show. Chef's kiss, Bob Newhart. Rest in peace. Back with more. We'll unpack the news next, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Radio Media Radio Network. You're up north. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's entertaining. It's competitive. It's the Lumberjack World Championships in Hayward. Cheer on amateurs, semi-pro, and professionals at the Lumberjack Bowl on August 1st through the 3rd. Find a schedule at lumberjackworldchampionships.com. Also in Hayward, hop aboard a vintage trolley to learn about the city's colorful past and present. Four tours available Friday, August 2nd.
Visit the Sawyer County Historical Society for details and registration. Over to Amory, and Friday night, August 2nd, it's the Revved Up Dance Party happening at the Mixa, fun venue with great music starting at 6 p.m. And celebrate the 71st anniversary of Flamborama, described as Park Falls' longest hometown gathering. Event planners say it's going to be bigger and better than ever. Save the dates to join the fun of Flamborama, August 2nd through the 4th. Enjoy, and until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You didn't think we forgot.
It's like,
of course, it's Yacht Rock Friday.
It's funky, yeah. Yacht Rock.
Uh-huh. Let's see, from Roger, rest in peace, Bob Newhart. My favorite zinger of his was of him on the phone with his wife. Honey, what are you making for dinner? Uh-huh. You know, you should really call that creamed chip beef on toast.
Wisconsinites, if you know, you know.
You know, you do know. From Michael, I liked Bob Newhart in the Librarians movie series. Yeah. He was a great foil to Jane Curtin in there. Got to admit, I don't think I've seen that. And I like him. I like her.
Yeah.
I should watch that. There's a big deal going on around the world right now in terms of a global tech outage, one that has kept airlines grounded, that has affected banks, that has affected broadcasters. When I turned on my TV during the 4 a.m. hour, the networks were all like just single camera anchor, no video, no graphics, because they couldn't communicate with all the many places where they, you know, have people working. Same goes with airlines. And it was all part of a software update, believe it or not. Yeah. All these folks who were running the Microsoft Windows operating system, there's this cybersecurity firm known as CrowdStrike. Their software is used by scores, I would say hundreds of industries around the world to protect against hackers and outside breaches. But a CrowdStrike software update appeared to crash everything that was running a particular form of Microsoft Windows.
Apple people are like, told you.
Here's just some scattered observations from the New York Times and others. McDonald's in Japan closed some stores and limited operations because their cash registers weren't working. The computer emergency response team in India issued an advisory on the critical severity rating of computers crashing. I know that all the airlines, United, Delta, and American, were grounded at least for a time. I don't know if they're even back up and running or not, or at least are partially. It's just that reminder of how weirdly interconnected we all are. But it's also a reminder of a theme that we sound on this program a lot, and that is monopoly power. I mean, all these folks running Microsoft. And it's not like you shouldn't be rewarded for having a good idea. That's not the point, or a good product. But when you have monopoly power on it, you know, there can be consistent, shall we say, standards all across an industry. But that shouldn't mean that everybody has to use the same product for it. Because then look how susceptible you are, whether it's one software company or that only four meatpacking plants, you know, control most of the food supply, as we learned during the pandemic when they went down. So there is a lesson in all of this disruption that's going on today. Whether we learn the lesson, I don't know. That's another thing. So again, our you know, if you're affected by this at all, we hope that things start to get better for you as the day goes on. The Vice President Kamala Harris is coming to Milwaukee.
Woo!
That's right. Milwaukee back in the news again. The campaign never stops in Wisconsin. The Vice President will be in Milwaukee next Tuesday. According to the Biden-Harris campaign, it will be her fifth visit to Wisconsin this year. She was back here in May talking about how the Biden-Harris administrative economic policies have helped Americans and addressed disparities that affect Black Americans and business owners. As far as the Trump speech at the convention goes, I did not see it. I was in bed before it started. Last thing I remember seeing was Kid Rock running around on stage screaming. And I said, this seems to be a good time for me to check out. So I did. And by the way, don't get me wrong. I only saw about 8 seconds of Kid Rock. I watched Tommy Boy last night. That held up much better than any. Yes, me, the political junkie, the guy who can't stop watching the news, managed to disconnect and watch Tommy Boy last night.
We were just talking about that movie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's
and
so good.
It still holds up.
Yep.
But, okay, if you're thinking, okay, Kid Rock was there at the convention, and did you really just mention Hulk Hogan at the top? Yeah. Yes, I did. Because, and again, I just saw clips of this on social media, but he was one of the, you know, he was part of the undercard, shall we say. And it was just all exaggerated, and he was entirely in character, and he ripped his shirt to shreds, and there was a Trump tank underneath that he was wearing. And you're thinking, okay, we are one step closer to the movie Idiocracy, which is the foundation of this radio program, if you have not watched the movie Idiocracy. Well, the moment you do, you will be so much better keyed in to this program. But there's Hulk Hogan doing his impression of, you know, President Macho Camacho or whatever his name is in the movie. And you're thinking, okay, you're rolling your eyes, right? No. After all the speeches, including Trump's, listen to this. We're going to play first Anderson Cooper, and then we're going to play Tom Lamas from NBC. And then I've got a Garrett Haight clip that we'll play later on. But we're going to start with Anderson Cooper talking about the effectiveness of last night's speeches.
And even tonight, I mean, Hulk Hogan, of all people, probably reached an audience which hasn't paid a lot of attention, hasn't listened to Trump speeches before, and did it in an extraordinarily compelling way. I mean, I'm not a devotee like Scott of WrestleMania. And even
okay, that's fine. Maybe that's a standalone comment. No. I bring you over to Tom Lamas of NBC News on the convention floor.
People like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan gave what I would say is probably the best speech at this convention so far, and there have been speeches that have blown the roof off this place. People who love the conservative politics here, who love MAGA. Hogan came in here, he did something completely different. He also was just entertaining, right? He was funny, he made people laugh, and even if you don't care for the politics here, he might have entertained.
He didn't do anything different, he did a shtick!
He didn't do anything different. This, again, in Idiocracy, politics has become nothing but entertainment. And that's exactly what this is. And I'm praying that Mark Jacob did not hear that clip either live or just now, because it might have killed him. It might have finally put him over the edge. Because for everything that Trump said and did as well, and the lies that he continued to tell, the write-up by the Associated Press was amazingly somber and deferential to Trump, saying, oh, he tried to strike a new tone. It's like, no, he didn't. He did in the very beginning, which we'll get into in our next segment here. But after that, it just was, again, it completely went off the rails. But I wanted to spend this time talking about, you know, just the environment around it. When Trump came out, the screen behind him had these big, like, Broadway lights and giant light bulbs spelling out Trump. It looked like a parody. Prior to Donald Trump coming down that escalator 8 years ago or whatever it was, no, 9 years ago, you would have said a scene like that was parody. We would never allow presidential candidates to come out to this kind of showbiz stuff with Kid Rock and Hulk Hogan and Broadway lights. And it has now become par for the course, because if you have enough, you know, bread and circuses, you can have all the power you want. And that's exactly, Donald Trump knows that. And if he puts on a show, I mean, he clearly thinks he's already going to win. And then some real things are going to happen that nobody wants to talk about because politics is boring. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk more about his speech, the substance of it, coming up after the Midwest Farm Report and more here on Up North News Radio for this Friday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Farmers have invested an awful lot of money in equipment to keep their farms running. Now imagine one day they walk out and it's gone. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It's not only a shock to that farmer's physical system, it's also a shock to their agribusiness plan. Craig Kamholtz is a rural mutual insurance agent that has to handle those kinds of calls. And he says, if you're not a farmer, just imagine trying to get through your week without a cell phone, for example.
These pieces of equipment are crucial to their ability to farm. You know, I often compare it to the average citizen. If you lost your cell phone and you knew you couldn't get it back for 2 to 3 weeks because they didn't have it in stock or something, or you just couldn't get one, how would that disrupt your life? It's very similar to something as simple as losing a cell phone. You could still operate. You could still function. It wouldn't be as easy. Clearly isn't going to be what you had. And moving forward, it just makes things a little more tough and stressful.
Craig Kamholtz, he's a rural mutual insurance agent in Greene County. He said, now most of the equipment thefts happen during the harvest, but he said it's now happening year-round. He reminds farmers to remember to light up your farm, lock up the tractor, park away from the road out of sight, consider technology like cameras and trackers, use signage on the farm to tell people they're being watched. That deters them a little. And remember proof of ownership in case your equipment is stolen.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
December corn this morning's unchanged. November soybeans also unchanged. September wheat's down 4 right now at 531. Yesterday, barrel cheese unchanged at 191 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was up a half at 186 and a half. AA butter dropped 2.5 cents to 310 and a half per pound. The August class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now up 2 at 2019 a hundredweight. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a pretty nice weekend coming up today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with an isolated afternoon thunderstorm, 81. Same for Sunday. Partly cloudy, scattered afternoon thunderstorms, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Max Inc. Radio.
If you enjoy great guitar, you won't want to miss Milwaukee's Mojo Perry. He's in studio for our live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rucker, and Jimmy Kane.
Weekend evening, 6 until midnight.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams and I will give our final thoughts on the RNC wrapping up in Milwaukee. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
little Yacht Rock Friday from Robert Palmer, reminding us that it takes every kind of people. Unless, of course, you're in the MAGA movement, in which case it's, you know, just our people and the rest of you need to conform. Because that was our theme this week, unity. Unity meaning y'all should come around to our way of thinking or else. Let's talk about mass deportations. By the way, is it just me? Do a lot of people think it's odd that a lot of those people waving signs, mass deportations now, are going to be in church on Sunday? Might just be me. I don't know. Let's see. How do I want to get into this? Let's start with the New York Times, a paper that I have been mercilessly flogging for its decidedly pro-Trump coverage lately. I think did the same thing that a lot of Americans may have done yesterday. They actually heard Donald Trump give a speech and said, oh, wait, that guy. We want to be sympathetic to the guy who was shot at last Saturday, but he's still wearing that pillow on his ear. We don't have any actual medical report on his injuries. There's a lot of things that aren't being said. He hasn't given a press conference. Here he's given a speech. Well, he's starting out all right, and then it goes off the rails. Excuse me. And here's the headline. Trump struggles to turn the page on American carnage. American carnage was the title that was collectively given to his inauguration speech back in January of 2017. Subhead says, on the last night of the GOP convention, Donald J. Trump promised to bridge political divides and then returned to delighting in deepening them. Lisa Lehrer and Michael Bender are the writers, and the lead goes like this. Donald J. Trump has long been a man undone by himself. He imperiled his presidency and political campaigns with personal grudges, impulsiveness, and an appetite for authoritarianism. His casual approach to the rule of law and unwillingness to accept electoral defeat resulted in $83 million in penalties, nearly three dozen felony convictions, and additional legal trouble ahead. Must be a typo. The word coup is missing from that sentence. But anyway, on Thursday night, however, with his right ear still bandaged 5 days after he was wounded by a would-be assassin's bullet, parenthetically, no, we don't know that, still could have been shattered glass from a teleprompter, Mr. Trump attempted a politically cunning transformation. He opened his address by casting himself as a unifying figure, promising to bridge political divides he had long delighted in deepening. At brief moments, he struck tones more similar to President Barack Obama's message of hope and healing than to the dark version of America that Mr. Trump described in accepting his first two Republican presidential nominations. Okay, so it all starts well. We're coming together. He's talking personally for a bit about the speech, but then the writer's going to say, Yet even this speech, designed to debut the new message, underscored Mr. Trump's challenge with discipline. He stuck to the script at the start, but as the clock ticked well beyond the one-hour mark, he couldn't resist falling back into the kind of rambling, unscripted diatribe that has long been his signature style. At 93 minutes, it was the longest Republican nomination address that's been measured. Mr. Trump's ultimate success will depend on whether, for the final 15 weeks of the campaign, he can contain his self-destructive tendencies and temper his preference for vengeance and unpopular hard-right policies. That's putting it mildly. But this is who he is, and that is what he had to say. I'm not going to play you very many speech clips because you've heard many of them at this point. But here's one. Here's Trump talking about jobs that are being taken by undocumented immigrants. That's not how he refers to them, of course. I'm a little worried about his math, but this is what he says about the jobs. And by the way, when he talks about the jobs that they're taken, I again ask you to say to yourself, what is it that he thinks Black people and Hispanic people do for jobs, and you know what they're capable of or not capable of? Give a listen.
By the way, you know who's taking the jobs that are created? 107% of those jobs are taken by illegal aliens. And you know who's being hurt the most by millions of people pouring into our country? The black population and the Hispanic population, because they're taking the jobs from our black population, our Hispanic population, and they're also taking them from unions. The unions are suffering because of it.
I'd loved it was worth it just to watch Greg Bock's reaction when Trump said 107% of the jobs are being taken by immigrants.
That math ain't mathin', Pat.
No, sir. No, sir, it's not. But that is. You know, Donald Trump gave parts of a speech that he has been giving for 4 years or more. It's now been nearly 4.5 years since he talked about signing a Navy contract for ships to be built in Marinette. And once again, Donald Trump had to give that shout out to Marinette and the shipbuilding. And he was pointing to Scott Walker several times, referring to him as governor. Scott Walker was unseated in 2018, but he was there clapping and sucking up as best he could. So here's Trump talking to Scott Walker and the rest of the Wisconsin delegation about something he's been saying for 4 years that has never, ever been corroborated.
USA and Wisconsin. Wisconsin, just like I gave you that massive ship contract, and you're doing a very nice job, Governor, right? Thank you, Governor. And they're doing a great job. In fact, I had a little design change, and we gave them a tremendous for essentially what we used to call destroyers. These are now the most beautiful. They look like yachts. I said, we have to take the bow, and we have to make it a little nicer and a little point at the top instead of a flat nose. And the people at the shipyard said, this guy sort of knows what he's doing. We have the most beautiful ships, right, Governor? And everybody's sitting over there. And it was a big contract that everybody wanted. I gave it to Wisconsin, but we're going to have a lot of that built right here in the state of Wisconsin. And
keep our name out of your mouth.
No, he can't help himself. But he has been saying for 4 years now that he personally changed the design of a destroyer, and that they said, wow, you're really smart about this. And I promise you, I have looked and I have found nobody that can corroborate what he is saying, that he changed the design of a ship, and the Navy said, good job, sir.
This guy really knows what he's doing. That's really really smart. The pointy with the flat point.
Here's the president, the former president of the United States, after praising, you know, himself, of course, and others like Hungarian dictator Viktor Orban. Of course, he misses his buddy in North Korea.
We stopped the missile launches from North Korea. Now North Korea is acting up again. But when we get back, I get along with him. He'd like to see me back, too. I think he misses me, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
is that
he does
funny?
Miss you. Yeah, he misses you. Putin misses you. Orban misses you. They'd love to see you back in power. Why might that be? You know, think about that. Alicia notes from up near Marinette. Meanwhile, three ships have been sitting in the Menominee River for over a year here. So I don't know what's happening with the ship contract. But anyway, on and on he went with so many things that, again, I don't have time to play you the whole fact-checking clip from CNN. It runs about 3 minutes of everything that he said that wasn't true. So it went on and on and on. Here's Garrett Hake from NBC News describing what it was like during the beginning of the speech versus later in the speech.
Garrett, how did the speech go over where you were sitting?
Savannah, we're waist-deep in balloons now. It felt like it's kind of an effort to manufacture a bit of energy that was lacking at the second half of that speech. The first half, I saw a lot of wet eyes. The second half, I saw some closed eyes in the section that I'm in right now. I'm with Brooke.
A lot of closed eyes. By the way, you know who else had closed eyes throughout the convention? Donald Trump. He was there every night of the convention. Every night he was seen maybe asleep, and yet you didn't hear boo about that in mainstream media. If Joe Biden blinked, they would have said, oh, he's asleep again. Oh, poor sleepy Joe. But I digress. What did regular people think about this? CNN had a panel of undecided voters. Let me play you two clips from there. The first one noting, in both cases, you know, they're noting what I'm trying to express to you and what I saw across social media was that unless you are a big old Trump fan, everybody else looked at it and went, oh, yeah, that guy. Here's one talking about how one of the things that concerns her is that, you know, Trump hasn't changed his 2020 rhetoric.
His rhetoric hasn't changed about the election, 2020 election, and I'm really concerned that we're going to have another issue depending on who wins. So, you know, I'm just really praying that if Trump wins, the guardrails of democracy will hold. Is his rhetoric
we have to pray that the guardrails of democracy will hold if Trump is elected. And one more undecided voter who, again, you know, kind of summed it up in terms of what they started to hear and then what they heard later in the speech.
So I gave his speech a D. It started out great, but then he went into mistruths and grievances and attacks, and it just totally contradicted itself in terms of what he wanted to achieve with unity.
Yeah, so again, like so much of the Trump presidency, there were things he could have done right. Something as basic as an infrastructure bill. Had Donald Trump done an infrastructure bill, didn't have to be as big as Biden's and the Democrats. It could have been, you know, whatever you would call a mid-level bipartisan infrastructure bill. He would have won election no problem in 2020, but he couldn't get that done. He said he was going to replace Obamacare. He couldn't get that done. Instead, it was the nation went from embarrassment to crisis when COVID came, and it was mismanaged, Mr. Bach.
I just want to play this really quick, this clip, this last one for the first undecided voter right here.
2020 election, and I'm really concerned that we're going to have another issue depending on who wins. So, you know, I'm just really praying that if Trump wins, the guardrails of democracy will hold.
So if you are that concerned about the guardrails coming off of democracy, if this guy wins, why are you undecided? That's what I want to know. That is what blows my mind, the idea of undecided voters. If you are that concerned about democracy falling apart under whichever candidate, why are you undecided? Why are you sitting in that room? Why are you not making sure that the person who worries you about our democracy falling apart isn't elected? That is what is the crux of my concern. I don't understand. I don't understand it, Pat. I just don't.
For me to properly answer that, I'm realizing right now I have to contradict something that I have been saying for decades. I have always tried to be positive on the side of civic engagement and voting. One thing I've said as much as anything else is know the candidates so that you're voting for somebody and not against. It's too easy to vote against somebody in this country with all the negative ads. Do a little reading and be for somebody. And clearly, there are still tens of millions of Americans who would vote for Joe Biden today if he was on the ballot. But I'm realizing that for a voter like that, who may not ever be convinced of Joe Biden, you know, that he can't do, you know, the 100-meter hurdles at the Paris Olympics, and therefore he shouldn't be president. If you can't drag yourself to vote for Biden, this election might be my exception to the rule, is to say, whatever your thought on Biden, unless you think he is an equal danger to democracy, then, like you said, Greg, look at both of them and say, this is the one I'm not voting for.
Yeah.
But by the way, if you're not voting for Trump, don't stay home and don't vote third party, because either one of those is a vote for Trump. The only way to vote against Trump right now is to vote for Biden. Maybe somebody else if Biden leaves the race. But right now, you're right, Greg. They shouldn't be undecided.
Yeah. I don't understand the in this situation. In other elections, I get that. But this one,
Today's history lesson is coming up next on Up North News Radio for this Friday morning, July 19th. Back in a bit. Make what life's about, yeah.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered.
everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. But I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
In honor of Yacht Rock Friday, let's start today's history lesson in a simpler time, in the mid-1970s, when Paul McCartney and Wings had the number one hit on this day. July 19th, 1975, Paul McCartney and Wings had the number one single in the U.S. A couple of big fires on this day in history. The Great Fire of Rome destroyed half the city over 6 days on this day in AD 64. And on this day in 1845, there was a big New York City fire that destroyed more than 300 buildings and caused at least 30 deaths, but there would be an even larger one about almost 30 years later. On this day in 1965, the Beatles released a song that would become their ninth number one hit.
Help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help.
When I was younger, so now, I'm not a Beatles historian, but I think I know the Beatles well enough that When I said just now that this song "Help" is their ninth number one hit, I would not have guessed that. I would have thought it came earlier.
Yeah.
And this was still 1965. Mm-hmm. That just tells you how many number ones they cranked out in 1964-65.
I mean, and what's really funny about, not funny, but amazing about this band, this is 1965. This is Help. They have less than 4 years as a band left. And yeah, they're going to put out so much more material after this. Because, like, we only, like, from 64 to 69, 70 when they break up, but, like, they're just pumping out material, and you think this should be a band with 30 years. Nope.
Interestingly enough, I mean, Paul McCartney would go on, and John Lennon as well, to continue to write for many, many years afterwards. Contrast that with Billy Joel, who got to the end of a particular road. I think it was the Innocent Man album, or maybe it was the one after that, and he said, "That's it. I'm done." And he's like, I can just, you know, do concerts from here on in with what I've already recorded. And it works out great for him. So good for him. Let's see. If you know the Mayo Clinic, Charles Mayo, one of the co-founders, was born this day in 1865. Actor Benedict Cumberbatch is 48 years old today. There's a guy that does both drama and comedy equally well. And also, by the way, in honoring Bob Newhart, very dry.
Very dry.
Very dry and yet funny.
I love Ted Lasso's. It's tribute to him. There's a player on the team. His name is Bumbercatch.
The aforementioned Mr. Joel had a number one hit this day in 1980.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
On this day in 1966, there was a wedding between 50-year-old Frank Sinatra and 20-year-old actress Mia Farrow. The marriage lasted just 2 years, but was all the tabloid fodder of its time. On this day in 1986, Genesis with Phil Collins had their first and only number one on the Hot 100 Billboard chart with Invisible Touch.
I used to be a real 80s Genesis hater.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was like, Peter Gabriel or nothing, man. And then I realized I'm wrong and stupid for thinking that.
Didn't Peter Gabriel leave before they actually charted for the first time?
He left in 77, and then after that, they made like one or two more records that had like the more artsy feel, and then in the 80s, they moved towards it. But they always made long songs, too. They still jammed, but they just got pop sensibility in the 80s like a lot of bands.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, here's how we make money.
Yeah, right.
On this day in 1995, the movie Clueless debuted in theaters, boosting the film career of Alicia Silverstone. The accompanying soundtrack gave some retro hits a modern makeover, with the pop punk act The Muffs covering Kim Wilde's single.
Looking out a dirty old window, outside the cars in the city go rushing by.
I am pretty sure I have not seen Clueless. I think at the time, I was raising two young girls, and I was afraid of what I might see, fearful of what the teenage years would be like. And then I realized, you can't stop the teenage years.
One,
they're just going to happen.
It's a movie. Two, are you a rich lawyer in Beverly Hills? No, you're fine.
I'll be fine.
You should sit down with your daughters and watch it next time they're over.
Okay. All right, there. I'm sending them the note now. Oh, by the way, I did something groundbreaking with my daughters last night. That we've been sending little clips back and forth, you know, funny clips, haha, usually through Snapchat because that's how we typically communicate. But we finally got Sherry on Instagram recently, and she's now become addicted to the funny animal videos and things. So I finally created a group between me and Sherry and both of our daughters. And my first message to them was, yes, your dad has just created a group to share things on Instagram. You may delete your account now. And instead, they sent funny clips because I love them.
Oh, it's fun. Sending reels is the best.
Yes, it is. On this day in 1999, I think you mentioned this song the other day. Lou Bega released his debut album, A Little Bit of Mambo. After the first four, he came up with this one.
This is where it really stuck, Pat.
Yep. Yeah. It's where the first four fell short. Here's Mambo number five.
One, two, three, four, five. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some.
Well, if you're running to the liquor store around the corner, you need to know that today is National Daiquiri Day.
Yes, it is.
It is Dental Retainer Day. One of those times where I go, who makes up these holidays and can they be stopped? But hey, if you've got a dental retainer, congratulations. This is your special day. Let's see. It is Flight Attendance Day. But of course, there's been far too much disrespect given, and we need to be reminded why they're there. So officially, this is Flight Attendant Safety Professionals Day. All right? Because they are there to keep you safe. And it's my hope that if anybody today refers to them as a sky waitress, that they go ahead and open up the door and push them right out. This is Urban Beekeepers Day, which I'm a little plus minus on. I don't mind. I love bees, love pollinators, but urban beekeeper, you know, got to keep them within the fence, keep them within the backyard.
Anytime someone says that. Now, like, I'm getting into beekeeping, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
And finally, Greg, this is the 19th day of being aware that this is Lasagna Awareness Month.
Are you aware of lasagna?
Has the bit gotten old?
No.
Of course the bit's gotten old.
No.
Are we giving it up? No.
Never.
Because you commit to a bit, and we're talking about its cheesy goodness for another 12 days. Back with more after this. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
Folks, I'm taking a little bit of a vacation, but do not worry. You'll be in excellent hands with Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel as your guest hosts. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
What makes Wisconsin Dells such a big deal? Well, big splashes for one, big rides too, big shows, big boats, and big scenery. The bigger the better. Water parks, they're a pretty big deal around here. Big families, you bet. Small ones too. Mini golf, big time. 19 plus million gallons of water, no biggie. Water slides, big, bigger, biggest. Big attractions, check. Big theme parks, check. Big meals, check please. Wisconsin Dells, now that's big. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.